Hello and welcome to the KE Report. Shad and Corey here, talking with the Hedgeless Horseman. Eric Wetterling runs the hedgelesshorseman.com. We'll put a link to that down below. And Eric, it's always great to get you on each week and just discuss what you're seeing in the junior market sector. We've been talking for a while off mic, and one of the takeaways from the conversation is there's been a lot of smart money positioning in the junior sector. We've seen big M&A deals like the Alamos and Argonaut deal just announced this week. We saw Mako Mining take over Gold Source. We've seen a bidding war for OreCorp between Silvercorp and Perseus Mining. Corora Resources and Romulus were going to tie the knot, but now a different company is talking to Corora. So we've seen some M&A deals, but we've also seen big strategic shareholders like Frank Giustra and Rob McEwen and Eric Sprott on the move again, and even Rick Rule putting money to work in the sector. What does that tell you when the sentiment from retail is still not really that engaged, but you see the big boys moving on the smaller companies?
It tells me why nobody makes money in this sector. But seriously, it's like, I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Gold just hit, what, 2240 or something. And you see these mid-tiers, the better ones, I would say. I mean, they're trying to buy up projects. Last one, Alamos, which has been doing well. I mean, they've shown that they've made good acquisitions before. So they bought out Argonaut. And you see McEwen, for example, he's almost in every single high-grade Canadian gold story right now. It just goes to show this sector is ridiculously cheap. And what's even more funny that, okay, these miners that are buying up stuff, they become bigger. So they will need even more mines in the future to grow or even to stand still. And what's the reaction to the gold price and this smart money activity? Nothing. There's nobody cares. Volumes are still abysmal. Retail are not buying. They're still chasing crypto. And one day they're going to lament the fact that they can't beat the market. And it's like, oh, it's the market's fault. But it's like, there's nobody caring. Nobody cares except smart money and the good and big miners. It's the most crazy thing I have ever seen.
So, Eric, in terms of some of these bigger investors in the sector, have you noticed a trend of what they're buying, what they're investing in, either certain types of metals, jurisdiction, stage of project, any trends from these well-known resource investors that seem to be very much the only ones putting big money to work?
Well, I think, listening to some of the larger companies, their CEOs, they're talking about, our growth is going to be in Canada. I mean, McEwen is, for example, an investor who's very much Canada-focused, and I've seen him pop up in like 5-6, I think, junior gold stories in Canada over the last 12 months or so. So I do think it's the investors and the Western mining companies, they seem to be focusing on, let's say, North America or at least Western jurisdictions. And at the same time, we saw Osino, which Dundee tried to buy, and instead they got outbid by a Chinese company. So it's like it's not even only Western miners, it's Chinese miners as well. But they seem to be focusing on Africa. Because we've seen some headlines where, the Chinese are not even allowed to buy some Canadian juniors. So, to me, it looks like there's a frenzy, and it seems that the first ones on the shopping block have been in, quote, tier one jurisdiction. So it's like, okay, there are not too many solid deposits left out there, I would say. So it's just incredible. What I fear, and you also seen Orla Mining, they bought Gold Standard Ventures at like multi-year lows. They bought Contact Gold even more recently. That's Pierre Lassonde. So he's buying up ounces in Nevada for Orla Mining. And again, the list is just getting thinner and thinner, or shorter and shorter with some of these junior developers. And there's no retail to keep the market honest. So my fear is that they'll simply just buy up the sector at these prices. And there's going to be few, let's say, developers to even ride.
Well, Eric, speaking of this theme of some of the bigger companies partner with the smaller companies, we've also seen a lot of other strategic partnerships in companies where the big boys are part of the small companies. And then even recently in the offtake side of things, a company we've talked about a number of times on the show and had on the show, Magna Mining. One of the ones we were discussing off mic was they just signed a definitive offtake agreement for their Crean Hill project with Vale. And Vale is one of the big metals producers in the sector, one of the big smelters. And so I'd love to get your thoughts on this one as somebody that follows the company closely. What do you think of Magna Mining partnering with a major here?
I mean, this was, I guess, kind of, you know, expected because Vale is the big player in the Sudbury camp. But I think this is one of those examples in the West, in the tier one jurisdictions. The hardest part is not really geology, it's permitting. Because, I mean, in Africa, you can, I've heard some say that's like you can discover and, you know, permit, start building a mine within like 2 years. So down there, you need to find the stuff. But if you find it, you can put it into production. But then you get the jurisdictional risk instead. So that's the main risk there. In the Western world, it's like the jurisdictional risk is, well, it's, let's say, the lowest risk kind of. But there, it's just simply hard to permit. And to me, it's just been absurd that you have Magna with like two almost fully permitted projects in Sudbury of all places. Like infrastructure doesn't get any better. With a lot of people from FNX Mining, which made a multi-billion dollar success, one of the best performing stocks back in the day. And nobody has given a crap, basically, because they got tossed out, I think, with the, you know, price of nickel, because almost every nickel junior is down a lot. But they have, you know, around, I think, 40% in copper, 40% nickel, and then PGMs. And it's like, how valuable is, let's say, a solid project with permits? It's like, I mean, that's almost priceless in the Western world today. So I just think it's overall, it's been a ridiculous value play. And again, it's like I'm not even a miner. I don't prefer to hold many juniors going into production, honestly, because I can tell really if, you know, mine is going to how well our mine is going to work, etc. But it's like if you have the FNX mining team, who basically, if I'm not mistaken, I think they put in one of their put one mine in production before they even had a PEA. So if there's a team I would trust in terms of starting up a mine, it would be these guys. But again, the market is totally dysfunctional right now. It does. If you have high capex, you get punished. If you have low capex, you typically don't get much for it. So there's like for anyone that's doing due diligence, I mean, there's a lot of buys out there. I can come up with 100 buys, but it takes a lot of due diligence to see which ones are the best relative buys. I think this is, you know, one of the most absurd ones. And there's other examples, of course.
Well, a lot of these stocks, yeah, have been pretty much in a bear market for years. Magna Mining, at least, just moved down throughout last year, but has started to bounce. Another stock that we should bring up here, Eric, one that you've talked to us a number of times about, is Inflection Resources. They just added Dr. Neil Adshead, well-known in the sector as an advisor. They appointed a new director as well. But look, we're waiting for drill results. The company was drilling in New South Wales. They even increased a little bit of that program, I think. And then they completed a drill program in Queensland back at the middle of December. We're at the tail end of March now. Any thoughts? What's your thought on this lack of news on the back of what were some significant drill programs for the company?
Yeah, so I think they've been very, very busy. And the thing is, as always, there's like we have short attention spans as retail investors. I mean, I'm an impatient guy. I try to be more impatient than the marginal investor. But still, I mean, it's like, work doesn't happen at the time of the news release. That's obviously a summation of what happened since the last news release. And now there's been like 3 months, and we know that so far they've hit smoke. They haven't hit, you know, a bullseye, a discovery hole, or anything like that. All I know is like, okay, they've probably been able to do a lot of drilling in the last 3 months. I don't know what the assay lab times are, so I don't know, you know, how much they have in terms of assays. So I'm not expecting that the next announcement will be a discovery hole. But I think, given that this is the most, I think, impressive technical team I've ever seen in a junior exploration company, I think with more time, they're getting closer and closer. And personally, I've said this a lot lately, I'm much more keen on beta than alpha. I'm not too enthusiastic about pre-discovery plays at a time like this, when you can buy stuff for less than sunk costs, et cetera, et cetera. But this is one actually where I'm pretty okay holding a big size of this because they have so many targets. Copper is getting back there, and then it's like trading for 16 million market cap or something. So no chance in hell that they'll ever find anything is priced in. And I think there is an okay chance that they will actually make a discovery with the help of AngloGold. And that's not a, I'm not saying that's 100%. If it's a 20% chance, I think it's very cheap. And I think they simply have one of the best exploration teams out there. So I'm not, the more time that passes to the next news release, the more work they will have get done. And it's an illiquid stock, so it's not like you can, you know, move about very much. So this is one where it's like, I'm stuck. Either they're going to find, make a discovery, and it probably going to shoot through the roof, or it's not going to do much for a long period.
Well, that's an interesting binary outcome there, Eric. But I appreciate you breaking down a couple of these companies for us, because we have had Infleqtion and Magna on the show, and it is interesting to follow along with the progress some of these companies are making, even if the market's not really paying attention. And also fascinating the way we started the call to see a lot of big money positioning in the junior companies, but really not a lot of interest from retail, even with gold breaking out to new highs. So hopefully we'll see that change over time, but always great to get your insights. If people want to follow along with Eric's work, definitely click on the Hedgeless Horseman link down below this interview. And Eric, as always, looking forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, guys. And as always, consider me biased. I own a lot of shares of both of these, and they're also banner sponsors.